Hello, you are very welcome to the first edition of News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty and I'll be right here every weekday taking a closer look at the stories that get us all talking. So maybe you can think of News Talk Daily as those 15 or 20 minutes in your day when you get to take a deeper dive into something you're curious about, an issue that matters to you, or a story that you've simply been meaning to catch up on for a little while. So let's get straight down to the first conversation. If there's one issue that I do think really matters to us all, it's the health and it is the well-being of our kids and how we can provide world-class treatment to our youngest citizens, to our children, if and when they need it. Over recent weeks and months, one of the most important bodies that are actually in charge of providing that healthcare has found itself in the eye of a hurricane, one crisis after another: unnecessary operations, use of unapproved devices, resignations from the board, multiple apologies, talk of a toxic work culture. And that's all before we even mention the unmentionable, the still unfinished National Children's Hospital at the heart of Dublin City. I know many of you are angry about this, and the politicians in Leinster House, they are too.
It is absolutely scandalous. No one person should be thrown under the bus for this. This is not about one surgeon. This is about a whole system failure.
I am absolutely shocked to think that we have de facto sterilisation of disabled children in this country. That's shameful, and that is an international scandal.
What I do think about every day is the parents. My God, how did this happen? I'm of the very, very firm opinion that justice must take its course. But in my opinion, if this plays out the way I think it may play out, this could be one of the biggest medical malpractices in the history of the state.
Strong words there. While making his first visit to News Talk Daily HQ, hopefully the first of many, I just don't think it's going to be the last, is our own political correspondent, Sean Defoe. Hey, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me and welcome back to News Talk, to the News Talk airwaves or podcast waves, if that's the thing.
It's good to be here. And you know what? With the risk of sounding, you know, like a Miss World contestant, the health and well-being of our kids. Like, if that's not a priority for a country, I genuinely don't know what is, Sean.
Yeah, completely. Look, and anyone who has had a sick kid or has relatives who have had their sick kids, you know how hard it is. And I think it's actually harder even than being sick yourself. When you're sick yourself, you can kind of deal with it. You can talk your way through it and rationalize and face it head on. When it is someone else in your family, but particularly a child that is sick, that's very, very hard to deal with. And you want to ensure that they will have the best care. And having watched the Oireachtas committee last week, you would just have to question, because there were so many issues across the board coming up, whether that is what's happening. And I imagine a lot of parents who are listening in this morning and heard some of what went on will be slightly worried to think what would happen if their kid got sick.
The chair of the committee said last week the opening line was, "I don't really know where to start. There is so much to talk about here." And I actually understood, having, you know, done a deep dive into this myself, where do we start? So let's go back, right? Let's look at Children's Health Ireland. When was it established? What is it? What's its function? Who is it accountable to?
Yeah, so the idea was put out there in about 2017. It was formally established then in 2018. And the idea was to bring together the three children's hospitals that are operating in Dublin under one agency. This was with a longer term view to having the National Children's Hospital and essentially merging the three of those onto one campus. And there's an awful lot of concern about the future of that and whether CHI is the right body. We can maybe get into that in the future. Lucy Nugent is the current CEO. Eilish Hardiman was the former CEO. Miss Nugent took over in January of 2025. Miss Hardiman actually remains in Children's Health Ireland as a senior advisor and was at the committee last week as well. So there is a Miss Nugent has come into this, I suppose, a little bit after the fact, in that she's after dealing with a lot of the fallout and took a lot of the flack and made the apology at the committee, but perhaps not necessarily a lot of her fault what went on. So she's sort of been charged now with taking Children's Health Ireland forward. and repairing a lot of damage, changing a lot of the structures.
Mm, but what people want to know, I suppose, is how these mistakes happened in the first place. Why weren't they identified before now, etc., etc.? And look, she wasn't really the person to answer that because she's only in the job 6 months.
Yeah, and she answered as well as she could. I thought she certainly made a fulsome apology on all of those fronts and pointed to different areas, for example, with the hip dysplasia, where they have changed clinical structures to try and avoid it happening again. But like you say, she hasn't been in the job all that long.
Okay, and we'll come back to all of that. But I want to just, I suppose, look at the failings and look at the controversies that started to emerge really about 2 years ago, wasn't it? It was back, I remember, in 2023, looking at the use of unapproved springs in spinal operations. I remember covering this and just wincing.
Mm.
That was a feeling I had. How could there be experimental surgery on our children? How could there be surgery where there was no safety and technical checks done on a piece of equipment being used inside the body of a child?
And that this particular piece of equipment, because it was sourced outside the chain of command, if you like, or the procurement chain within the hospitals, was made of a material that is corrosive if it is exposed to liquid, as it obviously would be inside the human body. This happened in three cases, I suppose, to bring people who maybe aren't fully familiar with it, of a case where there were surgical springs. And surgical springs are used in cases of, you know, scoliosis and other spinal surgeries, and there's an awful long waiting list. That's almost a separate horror story for people who are waiting to get this surgery. Even more horrific was for those children who got it and had these unfit devices put into them, and there just seemed to be absolutely no checks on it. There had been inquiries made by a surgeon as to the type of material and what kind of surgical springs could be used in this. It seems then, or the story at least the CHI have been putting out there, is that basically this surgeon did a solo run, procured them somewhere, and that somehow they came into the system outside of procurement and all the rest of bringing in proper medical devices, and that no one in the interim noticed, not the team who were involved in the operation, not any of the medical team, that they were installed in, as I said, three children. And it's one that has, like, just even the thought that the word corrosive for me just... it feels disgusting, you know, it feels really, really personal, and you can only imagine what those families have gone through. That's one of the worst ones, albeit on the smaller scale of some of the other controversies that we're going to talk about in terms of sheer numbers of children affected.
Yeah, well, sheer numbers, you look at the hip dysplasia surgery, 1,800 children affected by this over a long period of time, potentially back a decade. And really, in a nutshell, Sean, it appears that a vast number of those children maybe didn't have hip dysplasia at all and didn't need these surgeries. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
That is, yeah. I mean, it comes down to two hospitals in particular. So when we were looking at the three where it was carried out, they took a sample of surgeries that had happened over the last few years in Crumlin, in Temple Street, and in Kappa, the National Orthopaedic Hospital. In Crumlin, it found pretty much, I think it was 98 or 99%, had met the threshold used in this examination for the surgeries, but it was much lower in the two hospitals. I think it was an average of 60%. And in Kappa, only one in five of the surgeries that they examined may have actually been necessary. An awful lot of them may be okay, and they might have been fine, they might have been absolutely justified. The problem is we don't actually know what the final number was and what the impact of that downstream for children who did get it will be. There was one particular case where the review found that this child might not have needed any hip surgery at all and yet had both hips done. Now, the report also found that there were no, thankfully, no adverse effects down the line for that particular child. But it is very intimidating. And I thought at the committee last week, he didn't specifically say what surgery or what procedure he was talking about. But the Fine Gael TD, Brian Brennan for Wicklow Wexford, spoke really personally, saying he was one of the families affected, and that his child was in hospital. They were told he was to get a procedure, and on the drive home, himself and his wife decided we can't have him do this. And now he is perfectly healthy and perfectly fine. So one of those sort of sliding doors moments for his family, but really brought it home the personal effect of this. And he said that this could be one of the biggest cases of medical malpractice in the history of the state.
I actually have had close experience of that surgery as well. I have seen a child I know go through that surgery. I have seen the little video of this child with her hips in a brace and her tiny little walking frame trying to walk from the top of the corridor to the bottom, and her parents clapping their hands delighted that she was able to do this. Like, I think of those parents, and I, you know, being a parent myself, and you explain to them, you know, there's going to be an ouchie. you know, there's going to be a pinchy. It's going to be sore. But I promise you, mommy's promising you, this will make you feel better. This will mean that you can run super, super fast when you're a big girl or a big boy. Now, that's a language that you use. And you can see your little child's face and you can see their fear and you see their worry and you're there reassuring them. I promise mommy wouldn't put you through this if this isn't what was best for you. And I imagine those parents today feel like they've betrayed their children. That's how I would feel. Like I've let my child down when actually it was never, ever these parents' fault, because it's not up to a parent to second guess a doctor's advice. So I actually agree with the deputy on that.
Yeah, you're so at the mercy of clinicians, because who's an expert in hip dysplasia? You know, very anything that goes wrong with you. I know when I had cancer, it was the same. You're going in, you're totally reliant on what they're telling you. And there has to be a certain amount of trust. As much as you can do all your due diligence, and parents no doubt will, you still have to go, if a consultant is telling me my child needs this and I say no, what risk am I putting them at? So to then go through all that, to do what you thought was right and to come out on the other side and feel, well, actually, the consultant was wrong all along. And as a result, we put our child through an unnecessary surgery. That must be heartbreaking.
And the final, I should point out, the final report was into the culture. The toxic culture. And I have to say, culture is one of those things, Sean, that to me used to be a real sort of HR buzzword. Like, what are you talking about? The culture of an organization. But I tell you, if you've been in an organization with a toxic culture or a poor culture or a confrontational, adversarial culture, you will know all about it.
Yeah, and this report, we haven't seen the full version. We have seen a summary version, if you like. TD is very unhappy about that. On the stem, like you say, culture is very broad, but allegations of bullying were made, for example. You can see how some consultants operate. They all operate very differently, and consultants are often very intelligent people. That doesn't mean they're necessarily social people. Having dealt with quite a few of them in the past, that they, you know, they might be very, very clever, not necessarily great at communicating that, you know, you have something wrong with it. And as a result, because it's so top down that they are the boss, the holy grail, and everyone does what they say under them.
They're godlike sometimes, aren't they?
They can be god. You can see how someone on a power trip would use that then to sort of make a bad working environment. And not all consultants, obviously, should absolutely say that. But you can see how it can happen. Again, at the committee, CHI did say that in an awful lot of cases, this was better and was improving, but they certainly couldn't give any sort of blanket guarantee that suddenly there is no bullying in CHI. I don't think anyone would believe them, even if they did say that.
There was one other thing that you heard last week that I think maybe didn't get picked up on as much in the coverage and in the days after the committee meetings, and that was concerns that were raised around urology care and attention to certain conditions that raise the risk of cancer, which I know is obviously really personal to you, Sean.
Yeah, again, maybe I just heard this more than other people because I've had testicular cancer, and I know that one of the big risk factors for it is an undescended testicle. And David Cullinan was making the point through the committee that there were a number of children who were meant to get surgeries for undescended testicle that were on wait lists for an awful long time or didn't get that surgery in a practical manner. And that can have huge ongoing life impacts, not only for risk for cancer, but also fertility risks as well. And one of the big points that he was making is that in an awful lot of cases, even though there was an internal CHI review about this, the parents weren't told of this increased risk, this increased oncology risk. And that seems to be just a theme with CHI, that whether it was the hip dysplasia and families weren't told, whether it is this, you know, oncology risk that families weren't told about, whether it was the report that was done that was referred to the Gardaí by the HSE, and CHI say, we don't think it actually needs to be referred to the Gardaí at all. It doesn't reach that threshold. They just seem to have a very high threshold for telling anybody anything, for having medical disclosure, that I don't think you can do in the 21st century. Maybe you get away with it 20, 30 years ago when parents didn't question doctors, when no one questioned doctors. I just think that level of disclosure when there is a serious ongoing risk to a child's health has to be made.
We want every patient and family who we meet to feel safe and cared for. But we need to do better. Despite all this good work, I am very aware of the impact of the last several years, months and weeks, where revelations relating to our culture, governance and practices have led to great pain being inflicted upon some of those who are in our care. I say to you, I say to the children and families impacted and to the Irish people that I am sorry. I'm sorry on behalf of the management of Children's Health Ireland, and I'm sorry on behalf of the entire organisation. We want the best possible outcome for our children when they go into hospital and when they leave hospital. When that does not happen, children have failed and trust is broken.
So that's Lucy Nugent speaking there, the current CEO. But four of those board members have resigned. And there was talk, wasn't there, Sean? I certainly heard of that CHI needed to be disbanded. But there is a problem here. the minister, I think, is stuck between a rock and a hard place, because this long-awaited National Children's Hospital in Dublin city centre that we've all been driving past for years now, wondering if the door is going to open anytime soon. It appears that we are on the brink this summer, midsummer, late summer, maybe September. It's going to be handed over to CHI. And just to be clear, this is really CHI's main function, isn't it? To integrate the three hospitals and to transfer those three hospitals into one major hospital, the National Children's Hospital, and then, of course, to operate that hospital. And just to give, I think, people an idea of the scale of this, you're talking 4,000 staff who are going to work in the new Children's Hospital. You're talking the amalgamation of all your electronic health records between those three hospitals. You're talking 36,000 pieces of equipment. That's what CHI are responsible for. This is complicated. This is complex. This is not simple stuff. Nobody is saying it is. But you've got to have faith that this is an entity that is functioning properly and that can oversee and manage all of this really efficiently.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that confidence is there at the minute. So I suppose the two things. One, will it be merged into the HSE? That's a possibility. I don't think any politician thinks that's the panacea that's going to fix it. And I don't think a vast majority of the public would say, well, oh, the HSE, they're a bastion of good management. That'll work. So we have to really have a think about that.
A rebrand. We do like love a rebrand in this country. Give it a good Irish name and hopefully everybody will forget.
Yeah. Wasn't it meant to be called the Phoenix Children's Hospital Group or something like that originally? Maybe you go back to that. I don't know. Like you say, I think that's a good way to put it, that Jennifer Caramba kneels between a rock and a hard place without further change at the top of CHI. In terms of the Children's Hospital, I don't think it'll be handed over this summer. I wouldn't be confident it'll be handed over in September at all. This is the 15th delay that we've had. It was meant to be open, wasn't it, in 2020? If not 2022, talk about the biggest just disaster of a project that has happened in the last 25 years of the country in terms of the budgets. Government has always said this is going to be a great children's hospital. It's going to be absolutely fantastic when you're up and running. No one will ever question it again.
Fingers crossed. I mean, that's what they're hoping for. And unfortunately, I do think in Ireland we do that sometimes, don't we? We go, look, it was a disaster, but have you been in?
Yeah, for sure. It's been great now. I know they spent loads on it, but it's great. It's very Trumpian, isn't it? It's going to be a huge hospital, the best hospital. That's the way they've been approaching it. And now we get close to that opening. I say closes in the next 2 years. And the body that's meant to run it is in shambles. Like, if it's open by 2027, I'd be surprised, because not only do you have a 9-month commissioning process after it's handed over. So best case scenario, this opens June 2026. If that's even delayed by 3 months, CHI has said they're not going to transfer over patients during the winter months. So already you're kicked into 2027. And I think that's probably the more likely thing to do. We've also seen a number of issues at the hospital in terms of the kit that they bought not fitting into rooms, the ventilation not being right, all that sort of stuff. So you've all those problems to work through. And I just don't actually know what the government is going to do about it, because certainly the tone of the committee last week, tone of an awful lot of parents listening, will be CHI is not fit to run this. But what do you do? It's not like you have a whole bunch of paediatric clinicians who can run an organisation who are suddenly available to come into it. So it's tricky, and you hope at the end of the day the people who suffer aren't the people on the ground who are going to be children and parents.
Look at the minister in all of this, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, the Fine Gael Minister for Health. This cabinet, I haven't heard from, I think, about 85% of them. I mean, I listen to a lot of radio, I read the papers, I watch a bit of TV news, I listen to podcasts frequently. You don't really hear them. Apart from, I think, Jim McCallum.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Carroll McNeill.
Pascal Donoghue, Harris, Micheál Martin, you see.
Yes.
And yeah, the other two, but I mean, you know, I'd often like to put people to do the quiz. You know, who's the education minister now?
Higher education. Trickier. Climate.
Darragh Bryan. But this is not exactly fair.
Political correspondent.
Had to take a beat to go, how is that again?
Doesn't know who the cabinet ministers are, then we're in big, big trouble. But we do know of Jennifer Carroll McNeill, because I think she has made her presence felt, particularly because of her style in all of this. I find her more confrontational.
Combative, yeah.
Adversarial?
Yeah. She certainly hasn't come in trying to be best friends to everybody. If you look at the consultant rostering, particularly around bank holidays, she's basically publishing audit figures every single time after that. She's gone after the pharmacy unions when it came to the HRT, saying this is what you're getting, suck it up and dispense it.
Sorry, she went on Joe Duffy.
Yeah.
She actually went on Joe Duffy to really publicly out the negotiations with the union. And I heard from somebody that she organised that herself.
Right.
There. So she's not sitting back. She's not doing this, look, it's all about dialogue and negotiations and softly, softly approach. That's not her way.
That's not her style. And you'll know as well from, I mean, you've interviewed her how many times over the years? You've had her as a panellist on The Tonight Show. God knows how many times. Like, that's her personality. She's a combative person and she's just bringing her to it. That's a double-edged sword when you're a politician, because on one hand, people look and go, yeah, well, that's what the HSE needs and the Department of Health needs. It's been a quango for years and we need to shake it up. On the other side, because she's a woman, she'll be labelled as being difficult or, you know.
I didn't want to say it. Like, I really didn't want to, on my first podcast, get into the women debate, but she will. That's a fact. We don't particularly like our females to be too combative.
No.
We prefer them if they're a bit softly, softly. She'll be called feisty. I've been called that.
Feisty's okay. No, I wouldn't be offended by feisty.
But what's she going to do here?
That's the open question. Look, she's been quite strong on it. And it is a rock and a hard place, sort of a place where you can't disband the whole thing. We're so close, in theory, to the Children's Hospital being opening. Heads have sort of rolled in terms of the resignations from the board. But there has been, and this is something that came up repeatedly at the committee, there is also a narrative that this was rogue surgeons in an awful lot of cases. One or two who are either on leave or who have retired. And a lot of politicians do not buy that. They said, this goes deeper. This is CHI. This is the hospital. This is not one or two surgeons. And to get out of that, to the point where Tom Clonan asked CHI who their PR firm was. There is a deep-seated unhappiness. And, you know, if heads have to roll, she's possibly the woman to do it.
And this is really important. This is the health and well-being of our kids. Sean Defoe, thanks so much for joining me in my first News Talk Daily podcast. Let Me Explain, hosted by Sean Defoe, his own podcast. It comes out each week. What's on the pod?
Much more light. Speaking of spending a ridiculous amount of money, how would you spend €250 million if you wanted in the Euro Millions?
Well, I'd be doing this podcast from a beach, I can tell you, man.
Well, you're a better woman than me, because I would not be doing this podcast this morning. I would disappear. No one would ever hear from me again. But we're also kind of looking at some of the biggest lotto wins in history, because apparently 250 million pales in comparison to the biggest ever jackpot, which was, do you want to have a guess?
No, please.
$2 billion.
I mean, I actually think that's a bit too much.
What would you do with 2 billion? Well, I'm sure I could find ways.
I could spend that. I could spend even the interest. Look,
2 billion wouldn't even get you a National Children's Hospital.
So, what do you think? Do you have confidence in how healthcare is being provided to children in Ireland? And when do you think that our beautiful new state-of-the-art hospital is going to start receiving those patients? Email us anytime. newstalkdaily@newstalk.com. That's it from the very first News Talk Daily with me, Ciara Doherty. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition. You'll find us, as always, on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'd love you to subscribe. Until then, goodbye.